Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.
Yeah, welcome back to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. We're here for another week discussing mental health matters. Loads on the agenda today. We're going to be hearing about the Clinical Psychology Fringe Festival, which is coming to Liverpool. Loads of different conversations are going to be had across a whole host of different venues on a whole host of different topics. Plus, we'll be speaking to the team from The Debrief, who have got a new study out looking at the impact that it can have on your mental health if you are a woman taking the pill. They've done a survey which has brought up some incredible figures. We'll speak to the deputy editor of The Debrief, Vicky Spratt, on the programme too. That's all to come. First up, though, let's talk about an event, the Clinical Psychology Fringe Festival. And I'm very pleased to say we have two representatives in the studio who are going to tell us about their involvement in it and the thoughts behind it. Dr. Stephen Weatherhead. Great to see you, Dr. Stephen.
Hi, Mick.
We're going to call you Stee.
Yep.
That's how you introduce yourself. So, Dr. Stee. And we also have Saeed Oliyawola.
Oh, get it. Yes.
Close enough?
Yeah, well, definitely on point. On point there, mate.
That's from many years of having to describe football players' names. I would say, if in doubt, say quickly and with confidence. And it comes about right each time. Great to see you both. Thank you for coming in today. There was a line which I thought, when I read it, I thought, this Fringe Festival is going to fit in exactly with what Mental Health Monday is all about. It's about talking about mental health in a really open and honest way. And it's a quote from yourself, Dr. Stephen. It says, "It's time for psychology to get out of the therapy room and get mental health into community conversations." And I thought that's quite apt for the way that we talk on the programme.
Yeah, thank you. For a long time, clinical psychology and psychology, it's all been about people coming to see us and sitting and having a one-to-one conversation about mental well-being. And that's important. That's what everybody needs, or lots of people need that space. But more than that, we need to all be having these conversations, because mental health is something that we all have and that we all struggle with at times. And if we make conversations for those in all different places, like you do here with this show, then we've got a better opportunity to improve our mental health for everybody, you, me, everyone.
It's about, say, getting it out there and talking about it.
Yeah, I think it's something that as a society or as a community we tend to frown on. It's easy to see a broken leg if someone's got it, and we can brag about it and sign a cast or whatever not. But when someone's struggling within, it's something that's very hard for people to see, and it's something as a community we don't really open or talk about. When we do, as Steve said, we tend to go to psychologists and it's go and see somebody or whatever not. But as a community, with the work that I do and with the work I think Steve does as well, it's easy for us to connect as people. And when we connect, we can share stories and share experiences and share ways of dealing with things that probably we don't already do.
Yeah, you guys are working now with this festival. Now, if we compare it to breaking a leg, you can have a mental health festival which focuses on different things in the way that you don't have a broken leg festival. Everybody come down who's broken their leg or has got a broken leg. This is about thinking about things a little bit differently. Creating a festival vibe around it is a different way of doing it, right?
Yeah, it opens it up to communities, to people. It allows people to connect with things that they identify with. So when you look at this festival, some of the things that Steve, the team and myself put together is around kind of conversations, workshops. But if you've got in there dance, you've got music. So it means that people can come and share experiences and connect with each other. So it doesn't so much, it takes it away from kind of more strict clinical approach and makes it more real, more human, which is what we all are.
And, you know, whether we like it or not, mental health can be a hard thing to talk about. And sometimes you need to find a different way of exploring it. And whether it's through music or through dance, it can be just an avenue to open up some conversations that you don't even have a starting point for. This Fringe Festival can be a starting point for people to start continuing the conversations.
And you're at, with no disrespect to these places, you're at everyday venues, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not hosting this in therapy rooms or in hospitals or anything like that. So you're at Leaf, Bold Street, everyone knows where Leaf is, the Everyman, which is a great space, the Open Eye Gallery, Fact, the Shipping Forecast and the Brink. These are places where people go, yeah? Normal people all the time, normal people. And guess what? Normal people have sometimes got mental health issues as well.
Yeah, distress is part of normal life. You know, if you haven't experienced distress, then maybe you haven't fully engaged in life. So this is a good chance to talk about those things in everyday places. The Open Eye Gallery, for example, they've been fabulous. They're putting on a night for us whereby we've got a guy who used to be homeless, who struggles with addiction now, presenting his photography and his artwork. Then after him, we've got a rapper called Smithy coming and rapping about mental health. And, you know, there's some really hard-hitting conversations being had. We've got one night where there's a lady called Claire Shaw coming and presenting her poetry on self-harm and suicide. And, you know, we can start these initial conversations about psychological well-being, about mental health, but when it gets to the point where we're talking about people hurting themselves because of the distress that they're in, it becomes harder to have those conversations. And so exploring it through the arts is a great way to begin that.
And one of the most eye-opening things for me doing this show is that these stories aren't new, if you like. So, you know, you've got a guy there who's rapping about mental health. Now, he didn't just hear that you guys were setting up and think, I better start rapping. This guy was already rapping. People were already doing their thing. People are living these mental health lives, aren't they, behind closed doors, and, you know, finding pathways to get out into the public must be quite difficult. And to actually have this happening and have it in really, you know, frank and open ways, in open places, not hidden away from it, makes it more normal, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says it's okay. It simply says it's okay to have challenges in life. It's okay to have mental health challenges going on. And it's okay for us to talk about it. And that's a thing as a community, what we miss the most. So having people like Smithy the rapper, some of the guys are on the closing nights, we've got something called Soul Food, which is happening at the Selet University, which is just that, soul food, food for a soul. But with that, we've got music, we've got food in there. And the first 2 hours is just about a conversation, people chatting and talking about their experiences and feeling like they can talk and talk about whatever's going on and share and connect with each other. And then we've got obviously spoken word after that, which is again people talking about kind of a great guy, Jamie Brody's in there. He's quite a Liverpool known rapper and stuff like that. And he speaks a lot about some of the challenges young people face, because I think that's something else about with young people, how we can get them more involved in a conversation about mental health and well-being. And I think this festival kind of offers that hugely.
I wonder whether or not the arts, if you went through every great Shakespeare play, every great song written by Adele or the Beatles, you could track mental health issues in any one of them. You know, if you know, Macbeth, I don't know, any example you could find of people who are suffering Macbeth, post-traumatic stress disorder, might be a genuine example where you can almost find these themes which have existed for centuries, and they find their way out in the arts. Because actually, if you are feeling a bit down for whatever reason, writing a song about it, that song becomes, you know, a worldwide hit for whatever reason, and then you go and sing that song right around the world and people connect, and then they stop you in the street and say, that song that you sang really connected with me. And you think, actually, that's another way that the mental health story has been told over the ages, simply through the arts.
Yeah, right, many of those writers, many of those performers have had their own experiences with mental health. They're not just capturing someone else's story. They're finding a way to express their own story. And then we hear that and think, oh, do you know what? That's my story. That's what I'm hearing. It's like they're speaking to me. They're singing my song.
When people hear about the festival and the fact that it's, you know, clinical psychology, they'll go, well, this is where I'm at. Maybe that's not going to be where they're going to be at. Or maybe if I go into a room with, you know, OCD sufferers, me as somebody suffering PTSD isn't going to fit in. You know what I mean? Is there like an open thing that you have at the beginning of each session saying, look, this is where we're at. These are the grounds of which we're having our conversations.
Do you know, that's a really, really interesting question. Setting the pitch of it all is a really hard one to judge. If, for example, people often think that if you're a professional, you don't have these mental health experiences yourself, you just go and be this expert and provide that for other people. But that's not the case. You know, I've struggled with my own mental health difficulties. I've had family members who have struggled. And this Fringe Festival is a way of saying, we're all in this. Mm-hmm. Come along, give it a try. It's all free. Every bit of it is free. We're not going to be opening them up saying, you know, this is all about mental health. It does what it says on the tin. You know, it's about psychology. It's about working at the fringes and exploring these things.
What do the sessions then look like? You know, the conversations that take place. Is there a structure to it?
All different. We've got everything from we've got everything from knitting. Literally knitting. There's a session one night where an organisation called Neural Knitworks are coming and creating a space to knit 3D models of neurons, and also having conversations about the brain and neurological functioning, through to Smithy the rapper, people doing poetry and jazz and comedy. You know, people are doing a great comedy music set on how political decisions like Brexit can influence your mental health, because if you're feeling marginalised by some of those decisions and you're already struggling, then you're going to be really vulnerable. And so exploring those things in a way through art, comedy and music is just fab.
I think it works well, because when you think about mental health challenges and how we face them, you can't put it in a box. There's no, something might be affecting me, but the way I deal with it can deal with it in a whole variety of ways. So having a conversation is not actually boxed but open. means that people can go and attend events and pick little bits in it that they find useful. And they can just go and actually just listen to somebody else's conversation and how it maybe affects somebody else's. And maybe if they come across it later on in their journey, in their life, they might think, oh, God, I was at that conference and this person did this. And do you see what I mean? So it's an ongoing conversation as it is.
Well, I was going to say, it's part of that conversation might be just listening. That's a nice completely. Part of the conversation. Is that okay? Because one of the issues that some people might have is that they don't feel confident in public environments. And you know, is that something you can just go and just experience it without having to engage with different people?
I would say to you, if you're sat at home and you're scared and you're anxious and you're worried about leaving your door, come to one of these nights because it's a welcoming space. You'll have a good time there, you'll be welcome there, but there's not an expectation that you have to be in it and you have to participate and you have to contribute. Sometimes the way we look after ourselves is just by soaking in what's going on around us.
I mean, you guys have been sort of working on things like this. There was the Beyond the Therapy Room conference as well. At what point do you think, right, we can do a festival now, and it's not just in one venue or two venues, and it's not just over one day or 2 days. You suddenly go, well, let's book it out over 5-6 venues, and let's do it over 3-4 days. You're looking at me now thinking,
well, I'm looking at you thinking, I don't think it was a decision. I tell you what, Mental Health Monday is all about having conversations about mental health, and as soon as you start having that conversation, you find that it grows because more and more people are having those conversations. So we start saying, oh, well, let's put on a night of music or a night of poetry, and people say, no, well, I want to come and we can provide you this space, and all these venues are saying, come be with us, and all these artists are saying, can I come and tell my story, and people are saying, I want to come along, and before you know it, you've got not 2 hours, you've got 4 nights of it.
Yeah. So basically, you just came up with the idea and then everyone came to you.
Yeah.
But it's funny, actually, because when people email the show, you know, we had reaction. We did episode 1 last week, and straight away people are coming on going, last week you were talking about this, but had you considered that X, Y, and Z? It's like, well, it's not that we hadn't considered that. There's always a finite amount of space, but there's so many different aspects and angles to every single sort of story that you could talk about one thing and dedicate an entire festival to issues that might surround, you know, suicides between men between the ages of 16 and 25. You could do that, and that could be a thing in its own regard, but then other people think, well, here's another aspect to it and here's another aspect to it, which makes me think that this has got legs, that this is something that can run and run.
We're never going to cover everything, but I guarantee if you have a look on the website, there'll be something there that suits you. Like, for example, on the Friday night, we've got a great show where we've got people with Down syndrome coming and doing contemporary dance. So if you've got a learning disability, come and see yourself there. If you're black, disabled, and thinking, actually, I don't conform to gender about male and female, come and see Jack Apple, because that's exactly what Jack performs about.
It sounds like it's going to be really busy. If people want to find out some more information, there's a website and there's various flyers that people might see right around the city as well. On Facebook, it's Psychology Fringe. That's all one word, Psychology Fringe, or Soul Inspired Events. And it's on Twitter as well, Clin Psych Fringe. What we'll do, we'll put a link on our social media.
Thank you.
That's always the way, isn't it, with things, and we'll get those stories out as well. Saeed, in terms of people who want to come and they want to come and tell their stories, might they find, if they think, I want to speak to somebody, will they find a professional there? Will they find a pathway beyond the festival themselves? You know, will they be able to get information about maybe where they can turn to once the festival closes down and you move elsewhere?
And it's a good thing you mentioned that. We have thought about that. And I think that what's great about the people that are delivering the sessions and stuff is that everybody's open. Everyone's open to be approached, to have conversations. So if people do come, or when people do come and they want to go and speak to somebody a bit more about what they've delivered, what they've spoken about, by all means, please feel free and approach the guys. And also come to myself and some of the guys that will be there and put your name down and put emails down, and we'll try and get some information for you as to how we can support you further in the future, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get all the information in terms of the events and the social media up on our social media at Radio City Talk with the hashtag Mental Health Monday, and we'll hopefully get as many people as we can to head down there, take part, 1-2 sessions, 1-2 days, 1-2 venues. There's loads of them.
Yes.
There really is loads of them. Steve's got a fake look at his face like, how on earth have we organised this? It's 2017. It's happening in Liverpool, Steve. You're obviously a local voice yourself. Could this happen anywhere else in the country at the moment? This is the most sort of open talking city there is, isn't it? Most honest, certainly.
This could happen anywhere in the country, but I don't know whether it would have the magic if it was anywhere in the country. I think Liverpool has got a community that wants to get stuff done. I'm from Manchester originally. When I go to Manchester and start putting on stuff like this, we start thinking about all the administration, all the things we've got to do to make it happen. In Liverpool, people just say, do you know what, let's just make it happen, let's just do it.
I say you work right around the northwest of England as well. Liverpool seems to be an open place to have these sort of conversations. We're doing this show here now, talking about it openly.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, one of the things that we do to also connect is we do the Liverpool Soul Festival. It's another thing that we do. We do a Yoga for You schools tour and stuff like that. And what you find is that when you come up with an idea in the city, you can identify people that you want on board and kind of speak to them. And immediately you speak to a few people or you put it out there and people just come to you, and the energy and kind of the vibrancy of this city, it's a great thing. And I think that's what we found with the festival. We put the press release out, and before we knew it, you know, you were in touch and others were in touch saying, you know, we'd love to be a part of it and love to support it. And I think that's what's great about Liverpool, really.
Yeah, just mentioned the you do the YOLO program and the Yoga for Youth program as well.
Schools tour,
everything's got to have a Y in it for some reason. Sure. Just tell us about the YOLO program.
YOLO program, it's a 6-week kind of resilience program for young people. So they get bits of nutrition, physical activity, a bit of bonding. They get someone from a community leader coming and speak to them, or a business owner coming and speak to them about their journey so far. Because I think with experience, one of the things that we find hardest to do is to kind of embrace our journey and our dream. When you see somebody else has been through it, it's a lot easier for you to start looking at how you do it. And it's kind of focused at young people and people that want to kind of go on that journey. And that's what YOLO is about, really.
And Dr. Stephen, it appears we're at the start, really, of this sort of mental health story that's being told right around the country. You've got the Prime Minister who's talking about it now. And when there are mental health issues, it's not just pushed up now. It's in the news, it's on the TV, it's on the radio, and people are talking about it now. Do you feel like 2017 is a watershed year? It has to be a watershed year for mental health.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a year where people are saying, let's have this conversation. It's braver to have the conversation than it is to pretend it's not happening. I remember seeing an interview with Ricky Hatton just last week talking about his own suicide attempts and thought of not wanting to live anymore. And if somebody as tough as Ricky Hatton can have those conversations, then the rest of us can kind of walk in that shadow, can't we, and
absolutely,
say, you know, this is for all of us.
And let's hope that those conversations continue. 18th, 19th, 20th and 21st of January. It's the Clinical Psychology Fringe Festival. It's happening at events and venues right around Liverpool City Centre. You'll know all these: The Brink, The Shipping Forecast, Leaf, Open Eye, The Everyman, Fact and many more, including the Gateway Centre as well. And they're happening 18th through to the 21st. Guys, thank you for your time. We'll speak to you hopefully in a few weeks. Find out how the events have gone on and how you plan to do another one very soon. It looks like he needs a holiday already, but we'll go on from there.
No, you mentioned children. We'll get children next. Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Weatherhead and Saeed Oliawola, who are involved in the Clinical Psychology Fringe Festival, coming to Liverpool very soon. It's Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Right, we're up to episode 2 of Mental Health Monday. It's fair to say we're just scratching the surface when it comes to mental health issues. I'm well aware that reaction has been absolutely massive across social media, so thank you for everybody who's been following through Twitter at Radio City Talk. We're on Facebook as well, and through my own personal Twitter feed, actually, which has become awash with people who want to get involved in the show. A lot of people are saying, Mick, oh, I do this. Could I get involved in whatever it might be? And there might be various different aspects. I've had people from charities, I've had people from organisations, I've had people who've had simply their own experiences of mental health issues. If you want to get involved in the show, absolutely keep sending those emails in, mick@radiocity.co.uk. It's me and producer Lizzie who work on the show. So what we're trying to do is gather as many of those stories together as we can and then try and tell those stories in the forthcoming weeks and months. So it might well be that certain people get, I don't know, tagged together because they have similar experiences, or they can have a conversation that might sort of suit itself to the show. So if we're not getting back in contact with you like the next day, don't worry about it. We're getting all those emails together and we're trying to tell those stories as best we can in a way which sort of frames itself around this Mental Health Monday idea, but tells the right story in the right way and gives us the sort of the most open-minded aspect that we can to get those stories out there. In the meantime, just keep the emails coming in, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk.
Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.
Now, there are calls for better research into how the contraceptive pill can affect your mental health. It comes as almost half of women who took part in a survey by the online magazine The Debrief said they thought it had caused them to become depressed. Vicky Spratt is the deputy editor there, and she has her own experience in this field. She joins us now on Mental Health Monday. Vicky, thank you for your time. Thanks for speaking to us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You had your own experience when it came to this. Did that inspire the survey, if you like?
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those things where I'd experienced it in my own life, and being a journalist, it was something I was then able to research and look into. but my history with the hormonal contraception is a long and complicated one, and the mental health side effects I experienced were very serious. And now, a few years later, looking back on it and having done the research, I definitely make a connection that at the time I felt was dismissed by doctors. And I think the more I looked into it, the more evidence there was that this is definitely an issue. And when the debrief submitted FOIs to the NHS, we found that women were actually going out of their way to flag this up through what's called the yellow card system, which is the MHRA, the body who monitor drug safety, kind of way of reporting adverse side effects. And then when we obviously did our survey, which you just talked about, the number of women who wrote in with similar experiences was simply staggering. So it's definitely a big and unfolding story that I think will get bigger as more research is done, because what's also really clear is that there hasn't been enough research into this.
So is there a suggestion, or from the medical profession, is there a sense, do you think, that there is a known link between the contraceptive and people's adverse effects on their mental health?
Yeah. Okay. So it's worth me scrolling back a bit on that and telling you what is already out there. So it's known that the hormones in hormonal contraception can have adverse mental health effects on women. Now, obviously, all women are different. So this is part of the problem. Different women will react differently. But it's known, and it's published in the little leaflet that you get in the packet of your pill, that the pill can cause mood swings and mood changes. But when you speak to medical experts, they say that it's known that these hormones can also cause depression, panic attacks, and anxiety. So it's one of those things. One of the experts described it to me quite well last week. She said, it's so well known in the medical community that actually nobody's looking into it. Experts know that progesterone, for example, which is one of the hormones in the combined pill and obviously in the progesterone-only pill, is likely to cause mood problems or depression. But because that's known, nobody looks into it. And it is quite difficult to collect data on this. Another big part of the debrief's investigation was to ask the NHS whether they had ever collected prescription data, which shows how many women who are taking the pill have reported mental health problems. And they told us exclusively they've never collected that data. So they don't know.
It seems strange that this is, and I don't have the figures in terms of how many women take the contraceptive
pill.
I figured it would be millions of people when there is a known medical disadvantage to that in the form of these forms of side effects. But at the same time, we all take pills left, right and centre, don't we? And, you know, sometimes you can take anti-headache pills and it says on it, you know, may cause headaches. Is there a sense that doctors are having honest conversations about people before they first prescribe the pill? Is that something that could be worked on, saying, look, there are side effects and they are these, and make that more of an open and upfront thing that happens rather than it being a little thing you have to sort of scroll through, if you like?
Yeah, well, I'd say all medication has side effects. And if you're really, really unwell and you take strong medication, you might be prepared to put up with those side effects if it's going to make you better or even save your life if you're really terribly ill. But hormonal contraception is something that you take generally when you're healthy. So the side effects in well people, I think, should be taken more seriously. And I think that the issue here definitely is that the advice that women are getting needs to be updated, and that women need to be counseled through this more and told to monitor their feelings. So if you start a new pill, it would be very easy, for instance, for a GP to say, okay, so please keep an eye on your mental health. If you start feeling this, come back immediately. And for all GPs to ask exactly the same questions to all of the women that are taking the pill, fill out a survey and then file that information. And then someone looks at it and says, okay, there is a problem here. It's kind of beyond belief to me that that's not happening now when this is a known issue.
Was there, Vicky, this is quite a personal question, so forgive me if it's not appropriate, but was there almost a sense of relief from yourself when you became aware that of the 1,000 women who took part in the survey, so many came forward and said, you know what, Vicky, I had exactly the same experience as you, that it wasn't you on your own. So much of the things we talk about is the fact that people feel like they're on their own. They're the only one feeling like this. But this could be, we could be talking millions of women right around the country.
I think if our if the debrief survey is anything to go by, then it's definitely a huge problem. And yeah, it was a huge sense of relief for me. I think there was a point when I was taking the progesterone only pill when I thought I'd completely lost the plot and lost myself. And to read similar stories from other women who experienced that and are now fine and look back on it and think, you know, what on earth was happening to me? There is comfort in that, because especially as a young person, you don't necessarily know what sort of things your body and your mind are capable of. So when your mental health goes downhill, I think that's a really scary thing. And if you aren't told that a medication could cause something, then you might not look out for it. And then when you go to a doctor, as I did, and as many of the women who wrote into us did, and say, could it possibly be this? And they say no, you're not likely to question a professional. And I think that's a huge part of the problem as well, is the way we talk about mental health has definitely got better in recent years. I mean, even in the last decade, since I was a teenager, I think it's got better. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't still be better. And I think maybe if there was more conversation about things like panic attacks and anxiety and depression, people would talk about them. And that's really something that came out of my experience, and also what many of the debrief readers said. They said, well, you know, when I first had a panic attack, I didn't know what a panic attack was, so I didn't realize what was happening, and I felt really alone. But if you know that other people are going through the same thing or have been through the same thing, then A, you'll feel better about it, and B, you might identify the problem and get it sorted out more quickly.
Well, that would be the other side of it, wouldn't it? That you would say, well, I didn't know it was linked. Now I know there's a link. There's a sense of relief that you now know what that issue is, and then you can do something about it. Did you get a sense, or is there a sense from the medical profession, that there are different types of pills and that a doctor would be willing, if you asked them, to change the prescription, to change the type of drug that you're on that might have a slightly different side effect or a less impactful side effect?
Yeah, so, and if you read our full investigation, it's there, but I think I'm right in saying there are about 40 different types of pill with different combinations of hormone. And one of the professors we spoke to, Professor Anne McGregor, actually worked on this thing called the pill ladder, which is a book that compares the levels of hormones in each pill. So what should happen when a young woman goes to the doctor and says, I think my pill is affecting my mental health? They can look at the pill ladder, look how many hormones, what the hormone levels are in the pill she's taking, and find one with lower levels or different levels and try her on that. But what we found from our survey is that that's not what's always happening. Sometimes women are just being told to keep going, get on with it, or even being prescribed antidepressants and beta blockers instead of having their pill switched. So I think there just seem to be lots of mixed messages out there and a lot of confusion.
Yeah, and like I say, this affects, you know, many, many millions of people. Two-thirds of women aged 20 to 24, 55% of women aged 25 to 29 take the pill as well. And I wonder whether or not husbands and boyfriends can play their part there, because sometimes, you know, perceived mood swings or whatever it might be get written off as, you know, here we go again. But actually, if there is a change in medication, a medication and the pill is a factor within the house, it might well be that it's the husband or the boyfriend listening now who might be able to flag this up.
You've touched on something really interesting there, which is, I think for so long the narrative is, well, women are hormonal, aren't they? You know, being hormonal, that's a catch-all term for so many things. But actually, this is very, very easy to spot. If a woman starts the pill or changes pill and experiences mood changes, then that's worth flagging up. If you've been on the pill for a really long time and you experience mood changes, you've never experienced them before, then it's probably not your pill. But it's still worth flagging up and getting help. And I think it's just about, you know, mood changes isn't the same as depression or anxiety. And it's just monitoring how people feel and saying, okay, maybe this is something that's worth getting looked into, because nobody should have to feel unhappy, or nobody should have to struggle regularly. That's not fair on anyone. And I think it's just about being mindful and monitoring it. But also what I would say is, I don't think anyone, and I wouldn't want anyone to suddenly stop taking their medication. And if they do have concerns, they should definitely consult a doctor.
And in terms of those various different issues that people faced as a result of taking the pill, the side effects that came with it, I know some people were driven to the brink of suicide. In some cases, there is the depression that comes with it. Were there other aspects that kicked in, other mental health issues which kicked in as a result of taking the pill that came back in the survey?
Well, I think what was very what was very striking was that a lot of people reported experiencing suicidal thoughts. I mean, you can interpret that how you want, but I think basically what people mean is that they felt so terrible that they were experiencing suicidal thoughts. That went hand in hand with anxiety and panic attacks, which was something that came up over and over again in the results to the survey. I mean, we're talking about a sample size of 1,022 women here, and around half of those reported depression and panic attacks. And I'd say about a quarter referenced at some point feeling suicidal.
Yeah, and I know people read up on the debrief.co.uk. The work you've done there is really high profile on the website, thedebrief.co.uk. I guess if you go in with a printout of a few pages there, you can get yourself clued up on some of the issues around it. Going to a GP with that and saying, look, I've read up on this and I've read up on this and I've read up on this. Your GP is probably going to think, ah, this person knows what they're talking about. I better listen to them.
Yeah, and the last thing I say is I don't want to worry anyone. I think this is about empowering people with information. So if someone is not feeling great, they should go and consult their doctor and potentially look at this as a potential factor. But I wouldn't want to worry anyone, because as much as there are lots of women who have experienced problems which they believe are connected to their hormonal contraception, there are also thousands of women who get on with it, take it every day, and are absolutely fine. So I think it's important to mention that as well.
Great point. Vicky, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you coming on the programme today. Vicky Spratt, who is from The Debrief, and thedebrief.co.uk has got the full story online there. Vicky, thank you for your time. Great to speak to you.
Thanks.
That's Vicky Spratt wrapping up Mental Health Monday for another week. Returns next Monday from 2:15 on Radio City Talk. Also available as a podcast, which if you listen to it on the podcast, it'll be available again next week, and coming very soon to iTunes as well. And if we finally got it sorted on iTunes and you're listening via iTunes, well, hey, there you go. The wonders of technology. If you've got your own story to tell, drop me an email, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. If you've got your own feedback for anything you've heard on the show, we're also available through social media, and we'll have more postings about various things we've been talking about on our social media at Radio City Talk, Facebook and Twitter over the course of the next 24 hours.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.